Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Here's Miller and Condon.
Ken Miller. Trent Condon. Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO. And now on 106.3 FM.
All right, welcome back. Hour number two, Miller and Condon live at Principal Park, the LifeServe Blood Center. It is their big donation day. What color do you bleed? There are no appointments down here. We filled those up very quickly last week. Very grateful to all of the KXNO audiences out there for coming out here, getting signed up, and giving the gift of life. If you're so inclined, you do have some time. Their offices in East Village, 431 Locust Street. They'll take walk-ins right up until 2 o'clock here today. So if you're unable to get down here, or maybe your schedule changed, something freed up, and you still want to do so, we'd love to have you. Just can't do it down here, but you can do so at their offices in the East Village, 431 East Locust Street. Bama, Bob, Trent, and I will go around college football coming up here in about 12, 15 minutes or thereabouts. But let's talk some baseball as we always do in the first 11 o'clock segment normally of the week. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com, has joined us all season long, today being no different. Matt, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on. Matt Snyder, how are you?
I'm very good. Other than the football that tried to take place over the weekend. But, other than that, pretty good.
Yeah, it does kind of step on some toes when it arrives, no doubt about it. You know, I want to start with the biggest series of the weekend. Like, just when you want to bury the Giants, and I think everybody does at some point, it's a great story, don't get me wrong, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and yet we see these two teams collide, and the Giants take the series. This has been phenomenal baseball all summer long between these two clubs.
It absolutely has, and I think we've talked about before, the first time they played, the Dodgers won either 3 of 4 or swept the Giants in San Francisco, and I think the thought was, okay, now the Giants are going to come back to earth. But then the next weekend they play, and the Giants went into Dodger Stadium, won 3 of 4, and they've consistently shown ever since that they're legit. Look, they've gone through injuries, lengthy injuries, to guys like Evan Longoria. Buster Posey's been hurt a little bit. Brandon Crawford got hurt for a little bit. They've had injuries in the rotation, and they continue to sustain it. They've got something going there, and I believe I've also said on this show several times that I'm done betting against them. In fact, I've picked them. I've said that I think they're going to end up in the World Series because I'm done betting against them. They've got something special going there. We've got plenty of a sample here. It's not like it's 2 months. It's 5. So I still think they're being underestimated a bit. But they're obviously not going away, and they don't have to deal with the Dodgers head-to-head anymore. And they have a one-game lead. Obviously, the Dodgers can make up one game even without playing them in 4 weeks. But it's hard not to like the Giants.
Look at the American League. Of course, right now, as it's constructed, it'd be Red Sox against the Yankees for the one-game wild card, and that'd be great national theater. But Ken, he's a Blue Jays fan. He wants to see his Jays in there. I want to see Seattle in there because it's been 2 decades since they've been in the playoffs. Who's more likely to falter in your mind down the stretch, the Yankees or the Red Sox, to fall out of that wild card game?
Yeah, I mean, first off, Chris Sale versus Garrett Cole in the wild card game would be amazing. It's just, I do think, so many of us are kind of like, you get tired of seeing the same teams, I think my wife asked me why I hate Alabama and football so much of their day. And I was like, I actually don't think I would hate them. I'm just tired of seeing them always there. And I think people are tired of a lot of people are tired of the Red Sox and the Yankees, and they'll do the best numbers. As far as which one's more likely to falter, I don't know. I feel like a week ago I would have said the Red Sox, but they bounced back and started to play better. And the Yankees, just lost a series to the Orioles after they had a losing streak. And you go back now and you look at that 13-game winning streak, there was a lot of smoke and mirrors going on in that thing, and they were barely squeaking out a lot of those games, except for the Twins games, which they completely own the Twins in Yankee Stadium. But other than that, they were barely squeaking out a lot of those. So in hindsight, it looks like, yeah, they won 13 in a row, but if you look at the rest of their body of work, it's hard to trust them. I do feel like the Mariners just don't have enough to get it done, but as I kind of said with the Giants, the Mariners have hung around this long. Maybe they're going to continue to hang around. I'd love to see the Blue Jays get in there with how explosive that offense is, and they're on some kind of heater right now. My Lord. It's tough to tell how it's going to go. Three games each for the Blue Jays and Mariners, 3.5 for the A's, who look broken right now. It should be a good five-team race.
No, it's been phenomenal to watch, and it was good to see, as a Blue Jays fan, Semien and Guerrero get on the board yesterday, and Ryu shut that Yankees down for the six innings he was in there. I want to talk about the hottest team in baseball right now. Do you know who that is, Trent Condon?
The Cubs?
I'm not going to linger on them. But you know what? As much dirt as we've thrown on them after the trade deadline, and you won't watch them again, I found myself a couple of times in the last week peeking in on them, Matt Snyder. Look, this is a lineup that's going to be totally different last year. Schwindel has been unbelievable. Duffy with a big grand slam. I don't know how they're doing it or who they're doing it with. But you know what? On one hand, it's kind of been fun to watch.
I think it's been a lot of fun, and I think you see the crowds reflect it. Was it Swindell? I think it was Swindell a couple days ago. They were asking about the crowds, and he said, well, the first few weeks, you could tell that fans were just heartbroken because all their favorite players got traded at, well, except Contreras, but he was hurt. But he said these last few days, it's been unbelievable because I think the crowds are starting to go now with lower expectations, and the team is winning with, behind an offense of Rafael Ortega, Frank Swindell, and Patrick Wisdom. And between the three, it's possible they've found something here, and it's sometimes their guys are late bloomers. Schwindel, it's only 33 games, but he's hitting .374 with his .699 slugging for the Cubs. That's ridiculous. Wisdom is 90 games now, 25 homers. Rafael Ortega looks like a keeper, at least if you want to say it's like a fourth outfielder type who can move around the outfield. This is a good time to find gems like that who you know you can populate your roster with as you go into free agency, and they have a lot of money available to spend in free agency should they choose to do so. So I don't think they're as good as they've played in this seven-game winning streak, and you know a lot of it's against bad teams. But I think that there are things sure you can take away from it, like I said, like the Wisdom, Ortega, and possibly Swindell heading into next year and saying, hey, you know, maybe we've got something here in these guys.
The Brewers, let's talk about our friends in Wisconsin. Nobody's catching them, obviously, in the division. They're going to run away there. But the Dodgers and the Giants and the construction, the Braves in the National League playoffs. Is this team good and maybe good enough offensively to get to a World Series in your mind?
They're definitely good. In general, they've needed to hit more all year. Now lately, they've hit better since the All-Star break. Still would like to see Christian Yelich come around a little more than he has because he's the type of guy that can carry an offense, and especially Willy Adames just got hurt, and he's been unbelievable for them. He's their offensive MVP since they acquired him from the Rays. In terms of the World Series, yes, but there's a caveat. You need Brandon Woodruff, Corbin Burnes, and Freddie Peralta all going as well as they were earlier in the year. Peralta just got back from injury and was terrible in his first start back on Friday. Woodruff got knocked around a little bit yesterday. If you have all three of those guys firing on all cylinders, they absolutely could get to the World Series. But my concern is workload, because they're all three going to be at career highs in workload getting to the playoffs. A couple of them are going to be blowing their career highs out of the water. Now, maybe Burnes and Woodruff, you know, big, huge, strong guys that have gone kind of deep before in seasons, maybe they're built for it, but Peralta's going to just explode hit his career high in innings pitch, pitches thrown, anything you want to say, and he's, you know, 5'11", 195. So I just don't know how they're going to hold up. But if they do, yes.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com is our guest. Matt, a couple more, we'll let you go. Let's do the National League East, where the Braves are clinging to the lead. What is it about this Phillies team? look, it's a long season. They're playing their best baseball at the right time. They took care of the Brewers yesterday in convincing fashion. Are the Braves going to hang on?
That's probably the smart money, but, I mean, they're not what we thought the Braves were going to be coming into the year because Ronald Acuña Jr. got hurt, and we know the terrible situation with Marcelo Ozuna. That impacted their offense greatly. So you see the name Braves, and you think, oh, they're going to get it together, they're going to get right, but it's not the same team. Now, they did get an Austin Riley offensive breakout, and Jorge Soler has been very good since they acquired him, but it's just they just don't have the firepower everybody thought they were going to have. And pitching-wise, they had a lot of the same concerns as the Brewers because how far are Ian Anderson going to be able to go? You know, how far is he going to go? Now, they did have injuries with those guys, but Freed, Smiley have been so inconsistent. Charlie Morton's very good. The bullpen has been kind of a mess at times. I just think they're going to continue to be inconsistent, so that means the window's open for the Phillies, or if they can get it together and quit blowing games, the Mets. I still don't think you can count the Mets out there either. I'd love to see the Phillies win it. Nobody's a good bet at this point, but the Braves are probably the best bet. I just wouldn't have confidence in it.
I'll give you a good bet. You can bet against the Mets or the Cardinals once they have to take a lead into the ninth inning. It's a pretty good bet.
Yeah.
Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Matt, thank you. We will talk to you next week. Appreciate you coming on. Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, all right. Have a good one.
Hey, oh, hold on, Matt. You still there? We lost Matt. I was going to bring up, I forgot, his Indiana Hoosiers.
Oh, that's right. He's a grad. Yeah.
He got away with it this week, so we'll let him go. There's a lot of misery there. An Indiana football fan.
Trent, Hawks just, they never gave them a chance.
High water mark. You're coming off that season a year ago, and it just feels like.
I would never give him a chance.
No, more of the same. Mm-hmm.
It certainly looked like it. Who's the second best team in the East afterwards? Penn State by mile?
Michigan.
Are they in the primetime slot? They are.
Yes, against Washington.
Who just stunk the joint out. Michigan lost a big name receiver though for the year.
Penn State has some limitations themselves still offensively. Really good defensively. Mm-hmm. But can they? Because you're going to have to score to beat Ohio State.
Yes. Ohio State's offense is elite.
Michigan, powerful run game. Defense looked a lot better, at least looked like they knew what they were doing. But it was Western Michigan. Mm-hmm. And again, the overreaction that you have, I think you're right. It's still Penn State's the second best, but the gap between Ohio State and everybody in the whole conference is so significant. It's monstrous. Who would give them the best game? Is it Iowa?
Maybe.
If we had to line up a Big Ten team this week to play.
What's Ohio State got? Offense. What's Iowa got?
Defense.
There you go. It's Miller and Condon back with Bama Bob. We'll go around college football. I love this upcoming segment. We'll take a look at the Power 5 conferences, what we saw this weekend, what we were wrong about, what we may be right about. Who did you jump on and bet after what you saw? I jumped on my DraftKings account. You know who I bet?
What do you got?
UCLA.
UCLA.
To win their division.
To win their division, okay.
And to win the conference.
Gotcha. Okay.
Why not? 3-1-5.
I thought you were like going to buy UCLA to win a national championship
or
something.
No, they're not winning a natty. Okay. Anyways, Miller and Condon back with Bama Bob. 1460 KXNO.
800 bets off.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, Miller and Condon, welcome back. It's Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. We're live at Principal Park as the blood drive continues, the LifeServe Blood Center blood drive. What color do you bleed? All of the appointments taken at Principal Park, but if you'd like to donate blood, they'd love to have you, and you can do so today at their downtown location, East Village, to be precise, 431 East Locust in Des Moines. Well, that music means it's time to go around college football. Overreact to what we saw week number one. Bama Bob joins us. Bama, Trent, and Ken, thanks for coming on, Bama. How are you?
Oh, just doing great, Ken. What a fabulous weekend.
No, it really was, Bama. And, you know, I go back to Friday night, Lane Stadium, and then Saturday in the early slot, jumping around at Camp Randall. It just shows you what we missed, right? Just the fans and the pomp, the pageantry, everything that makes college football what it was. That's what we missed from in my book. Ben, we got a lot of ground to cover, so let's get right into it if we can. We usually go around the Power 5 conferences. Trent put his foot down this year. We are not going to start do it alphabetically with
God.
The ACC. We'll get to them, but they've got trouble.
Yeah, they've got news.
Ben, your thoughts? Let's start. Yeah, I'm with you. Let's start in the Big 12. Overall, Bama, your thoughts on the Big 12's weekend? You can pick a particular game, school, whatever you want to do. What do you think about how the Big 12 performed this week?
Yeah, a little scary, Ken. Oklahoma had a real scare with Tulane. That game was supposed to be played in New Orleans, but they moved it because of Ida, and that was a game. I mean, Rattler was good, efficient, 30 of 39, 304 yards, but I'm a little worried if I'm Oklahoma maybe about my defense. We hear it every year. They're going to be better on defense, and they didn't – I don't know how good Tulane's going to be, but, that game came nowhere near the number of what Oklahoma was favored by and was a game right down until the last possession. Iowa State, I kept waiting for that game to pull away. I'm watching I'm just kind of getting updates on it because, I was watching other things, and I just kind of kept waiting for them to – pull away, and they didn't or couldn't or wouldn't or whatever. Maybe that was Northern Iowa. You guys are a lot closer to that than I am, but I really didn't expect that from a team that's ranked seventh. I thought Texas had a really good week. That game I thought had a chance to be closer, but look, Card played well, and that was a really good win for Sarkisian. But Ken, really the real story in that is Kansas is right at their one win total now. I mean, over South Dakota. I mean, I think the win total was 1.5, so they've got 11 wins chances to go over that. So not that they didn't keep it close, 3 points over South Dakota, but look, to me, the big thing, Iowa State, Oklahoma, those are two teams that we, or the class of that conference, or so we thought going in. I think we both picked them to get to the championship game. They're the highest-ranked teams. Oklahoma's going to drop without question. They haven't already. I haven't seen the polls yet. Iowa State might as well. But, look, Iowa State's got a chance at redemption if the Hawks coming in this week, which we'll talk about Friday. But those two teams, to me, were a little surprising.
I'm with you. I watched the Kansas game on ESPN Plus on Friday, and it was good to see him win. Trent, your thoughts?
First of all, Bama, to your question, the AP poll will come out at 1 o'clock Central Time is when we will see that. I'm sure Murph and Andy will have a lot about that here on KXNO. Kansas State, workmanlike
good
victory.
Good win for you. Like them, too.
I did. That was my favorite bet of the weekend, and they were dominant defensively. Yep. Skylar Thompson, how good they are offensively compared to when he's not out there. And Deuce Vaughn, the dude's 5'5", and he is so fun to watch. Had a big touchdown in the game. K-State, I think they're going to be a problem once again. I didn't see anything of the Oklahoma State-Missouri State game.
Didn't see a play.
But 23-16, another one that if you were a believer in that Oklahoma State team, that maybe they're the third team. Not quite ready to go there with Gundy's group.
I'm with you. West Virginia getting beat by
Stanford
Maryland.
Was body clock. I learned more about 9 a.m. body clock time for Stanford is what.
That's what we're going to hear. Yeah, that's what we'll hear. I was impressed by Maryland knocking off West Virginia. Bama, I agree with you on Texas and Sarkisian. It was the top of the conference. Was the letdown Oklahoma and Iowa State. Yes, both of them put them in the win column, but nowhere near as shiny as we thought they were going to be. Fellas, let's move on. Let's head to Big Ten. Trent, we'll start with you. Your thoughts on the Big Ten.
The West is wide open for the Hawkeyes for the taking, and we've talked about this here on our local front, Bam. I want to get your perspective on this. Iowa, you look at numbers, they're in the top 10 in the country in victories over the last 5 seasons. But during that, they have not got to the Big Ten championship game. They've been close. It's time for no excuses now. Iowa, break down that door, get there. Wisconsin still has limitations offensively. Bama, this has got to be for the year for the Hawks to get back to Indianapolis for the first time since 2015. Do you agree?
I would tend to agree with that, Trent. I really would. That was a good win. I don't know how good Indiana is. I mean, I thought going in they could be a pest. That game was not competitive. I really expected it to be a very competitive game, and it wasn't. Penix, we talked about 3 picks. I mean, they're not going to win that way. They've got to get him some help. This could be a team. We could see a big fall off from them this year because their schedule's pretty tough down the road. I mean, this was a game that they coming in, they had all kinds of expectations. I think they were ranked preseason the first time in, what, 50 years, however many. I mean, you know, I think Ken's the only one that remembers back when they were ranked preseason out of all of
Here
them.
We go.
So, you know, but look, you're right on Iowa. To me, the game of the week, and I said this Friday, I was on every play of that Penn State-Wisconsin game. I thought that was just great.
Isn't it fun?
That was so much fun. Listen, Wisconsin gave them the game, there's no question, but Penn State, that defense is going to be tough. That, and I can't remember the kid's name, and I should have, and that's my fault, but whoever, number 17 for them, that Temple transfer, oh my goodness, the kid that blocked the field.
All over the field.
I mean, everywhere. Yep. And my first thought was, why was he at Temple to start with? Why is he a Temple transfer? But he is a difference maker, Ken. And, you know, look, you mentioned jump around, and that to me, I told you the Iowa wave is my favorite new tradition. And I have no connection to Wisconsin, but when I saw a jump around and 80,000 fans just, you know, bouncing around that stadium, Jenny Taft on the sideline, Gus Johnson kind of grooving it in the box. I mean, what that told me, Ken, is at least for this week, and I hope we get it all season. We all know where we're at and everything else, but that meant the sport was back. I mean, we had games last year, okay, and they were important, and they filled a void, and we get it, but those were just games. This is the sport. These are the traditions. You know, it's you know, Sandman for Virginia Tech. It's jump around. It's the wave. I mean, these, with fans in the stadium, and that to me just said the sport is back, and it was so good to see a packed Doak Campbell Stadium for a great game, you know, when we finally get to the ACC, you know, Saturday night. It was so great to see for 1 week. I hope we can keep it up. But, you know, we're all going to overreact as well to Michigan. You know, look, it's Western Michigan. I don't know if Harbaugh's found a quarterback. Let's pump the brakes a little bit. They look good for 1 week. Let's give them that. But, you know, Penn State's going to be a force if that defense, but they got to get better play out of Clifford. But that game to me was just, that was the game of the weekend, and it lived up to it. And I don't care. People can say it was boring, no offense, whatever. It was fantastic.
Nope. You won't get that from us, Bama. I enjoyed every single minute of that. And what's the other tradition they have there, the Buttercup song?
Buttercup.
I don't know what it is.
That was pretty
good, too.
No, good. That's on my
list. I didn't know
now.
That
I mean,
either.
Alabama goes there and 2024, I think. I'm making that trip to Madison.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That'll be special. Well, since you brought up the ACC, let's go to the ACC. This is a conference that's in trouble, I think, right off the bat, fellas. I don't know how Clemson – look, they're Clemson. They got that reputation. I get it. It looks to me, after on an overreact Tuesday, that they might be the conference on the outside looking in. We'll see. Clemson did not look good. Bama, we'll start with you. Your takeaway on what you saw from the ACC this week.
Yeah, that Clemson-Georgia game was a letdown, Ken. And listen, we've all seen in the past, I remember the field goal game, okay, Alabama-LSU, and everybody thought it was boring, but there was so much good defense played in that game. And there was good defense on the field, you know, for this game as well, Saturday night, but it was just bad offense. I mean, Georgia didn't score an offensive touchdown. It was a pick six. You know, DJ just, he looked lost out there. They couldn't run the football. They didn't try to run it a lot of times. And that's just not Clemson football. And again, somebody had to win the game. I thought Clemson would win it because I thought Dabo was a better coach than Kirby Smart. I think he still is for whatever reason. This game, this was the big letdown to me. I didn't think it was a big, you know, these did not look like two playoff teams. I'll put it that way. Georgia might actually get there, but in terms of the conference, I think you're right. North Carolina, you know, Virginia Tech might be the kind of the sleeper in that, but I mean, North Carolina just laid an egg 10 points to open the season. We saw what Alabama did, and I think if we go back and listen to the tape, I mentioned 44-13 in that game for Alabama, but they just rolled Miami, and Miami did not look competitive at all. You know, really not much else to get excited about. Look, Florida State might have made the best impression of anybody out of that conference, and they lost the game. And I know ACC, you know, Notre Dame, whatever, that whole alliance. But Mackenzie Milton, the way he came in. And
what a story.
It didn't turn out to be a storybook ending, you know, the Hollywood script, whatever, through no fault of his. But that was a great story. That was a fantastic football game. Cone looks like kind of the real deal for Notre Dame, and that tight end they have, Baby
Gronk. I was surprised. Yeah.
Meyer. Yeah, yep. I mean, he yep. that
Mayor, yep.
that team looked good. Florida State might have been the most impressive team in that conference, and they lost the game.
Yep. Mackenzie Milton, Trent, that to me was just, I mean, watching his mom cry got me crying.
Yeah.
what was your takeaway on the ACC?
Well, NC State is that team you're looking for. They
6 wins was their over-under?
Baffling. They have to have a losing record for them not to cash that ticket. I hope people are listening this summer because we handed out a winner on that one. That team gets Clemson at the end of September. They get Mississippi State this week. Should be a pretty good game there. I really like that NC State team. They got a defense and they have a quarterback in Leary, who's a really good player. You're right, though. The Florida State story. And I saw Notre Dame fan Sean Roberts complaining about it. Look.
Complaining about what?
About the coverage, about how Tess was glowing. You got to get past that. This is what makes sports what they are. It's not just about what we see between the field. It's the stories.
He was going to lose his leg.
Sean.
Not Sean.
Right. Sean, you got to let this one go. I understand you love Notre Dame, but you have to let this one go. It was an incredible story. I was with you seeing his parents up there.
Oh, my God.
I heard Pete Thamel, who was at the game. He didn't go to the post-game press conference. Instead, he went and found the family.
Really?
72 members
nice.
Of the family that were there. And they didn't. They thought he wasn't going to play. They just wanted to see him in uniform.
Right.
Was incredible to see that, and you're exactly
and the way he got on the field was
to the
crazy.
Icon.
I mean, the kid loses his right. helmet, yep. and he goes in, he never comes
yes.
out. It's nuts. Yes. But and then you know the whole overreaction to Brian Kelly's comment. I mean, can we please stop it?
Oh yeah,
Twitter.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't mean it. It was I got it as the second he said it. It was the John McKay reference, which was a better quote.
Mm-hmm.
He
yep.
just fumbled through it. Can we please
yep.
just lighten up? I mean, my God, if that's what you're worried about,
right.
then your life's pretty good.
Oh, man, I'm with you. Fellas, let's go to the Pac-12. I'll start, Bama. I think that UCLA's so far, and we've seen them twice, they've had an extra game, UCLA did. I thought LSU would come in and that speed would take over in the football game. I think Chip Kelly's finally got, this is his best team by far, at least early on in the season. I came away from that game, Bama, by logging on to my DraftKings account and betting UCLA to win the South and to win the conference. UCLA, Chip Kelly's got something here.
Yeah, he might. They've got talent. And, Ken, the shocking thing to me, and maybe this is more about LSU, but I'm going to give UCLA a lot of credit here. They were more physical. They looked like the bigger, physical, more athletic, faster, stronger football team, and I never in 100 years would have thought that I would have said that about when UCLA was on the field with LSU, but that's what it looked like to me. Listen, he's got everything they need. If they stay healthy, you're right. I mean, USC, I thought, had a good win, and that was another one that I thought might be a tough game. They kind of put away San Jose State pretty easy. Oregon, man... Man,
struggled.
You know, thank goodness it was ugly. But I think Fresno's better than we think. You guys were on that game, and I give you credit for that.
Yep.
You were on that as far as, you know, keeping it close. But, you know, Washington, what in the world? And I know Montana's a good FCS team, but my goodness. I mean, you know, you just can't do that. And then, you know, you mentioned the rest of it. My guilty pleasure team just takes out Oregon State.
Yeah.
That was a good one. Arizona, a little competitive maybe. You know, Washington State losing to Utah State. That conference, you're right, it's in trouble. And yep. I'm with you. UCLA, by far the most impressive team. But can they sustain it? Can they keep it up? I think Oregon, I'm still – my jury's out a little bit. I want to see what they look like in Columbus this week. If they get kind of – if they don't look competitive in that game, then you're right. I'm going to stick with them to win that conference just – because I'm more of a crystal ball thing than anything else. But Chip Kelly, mm-hmm. without question, UCLA, the best, most impressive team in that conference, without a doubt, this weekend.
The North goes 1-5 in week one. This is a power conference. This is a power division.
Mm.
Oregon survives against Fresno. Cal, Oregon State, Stanford, Washington, Washington State, all lose.
Mm.
Not cover. All lose outright. Five teams already at 0-1. In the conference there, I'm not seeing it. And it was Chip Kelly's got a team now finally built in his image. They're powerful. They'll run the football. They look like they should compete up front here. They'll be all right. USC will be all right, but we don't have a playoff team coming out here. You're trying to throw Clemson out of there already. 12-1 Clemson's still going to get in.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure they can win. They'll win 12 football games when I watch this team. Let's finish it up, boys, with the SEC. Trent, you can go first on the SEC. Your thoughts?
Alabama. Why did we even think about now? It's like an annuity. You get them at 4-1 before the season, and it drops as the summer's going on. Just jump on it right away. To do that in that fashion, to do it not just the quarterback and the skill position guys, but rebuilding both your offensive and defensive lines, they are at a completely another level. And that doesn't mean they can't lose to Texas A&M, because I still think they could.
How about Ole Miss?
Lose to Ole Miss? Yeah, they could. But ultimately, they're going to be there. They're going to be back in the playoff again. Mm-hmm. And here's a question for you, Bama. Alabama or the field? I give it to you right now. Who are you taking to win the national championship?
Oh, man. You know, just odds tell you take the field, because at some point, there's so many teams. But listen, they were probably the most impressive team of the top five this weekend. We already talked about Oklahoma struggling. Georgia is, and Clemson just kind of played a yuck fest, if you will. We talked about Ohio State from the Thursday night game. I think Ohio State will get better, and I think they're going to,
I do too,
maybe
Bama.
Starting this week, and then, with the we talked about their schedule kind of softens out, but, I guess I'd take the field this, numbers-wise, but, again, they look pretty good. And how about James? I mean, they get the Ohio State transfer. This kid wasn't good enough to play at Ohio State, and he looks like Devontae Smith all over again, this Williams kid, the wide receiver. He takes, a 94-yard slant to the house, just outruns it. Like, they need another weapon, but – Young, to me, looked really, really composed. I think this defense is back to being a Nick Saban Alabama defense. Now, they lost a pretty big piece of that when Allen, their outside linebacker, he's gone for maybe the season. Maybe he could get back late if they get into the playoffs. It's a foot in. And how about the injuries? I mean, boy, Ibrahim from Minnesota, that's just terrible. That kid is so good. And I hate the fact that he's gone. But, again, Florida did not look good to me. I watched a lot of that game because I have to. I'm married to a Gator, and that was a tough watch. I don't think they have a quarterback, at least the one that they showed didn't look very good, I'll put it that way, against Florida Atlantic. They might have two, and if you have two, you have none. So Kentucky, can't take anything out of that. I just think that, Mississippi State having to come back against La Tech again, I think they're having buyer's remorse on Michael Leach. I just don't think that's going to work long term. But, it's Alabama. A&M looked good. They didn't play anybody. We talked about Georgia. I mean, the more it changes, the more it stays the same, guys.
Yeah, Mississippi State, go back a year, we were all overreacting to Leach in the SEC. Maybe one of my bigger takeaways in that conference was Zeb Nolan throwing four touchdown passes for South Carolina, grad assistant coach. Well, you know what? Let's put the coaching on the back burner. We need you to play. And not only do we need you to play, we need you to start. And he goes in there and throws four touchdowns. But, yes, the takeaway was Alabama and the way that they went through Miami again. Unbelievable. Bama, just real quick, Trent and I, during the break, we were looking to, it's not the shiniest of schedules, Bama. I mean, we'll find something. Other than Iowa State, the way Washington played, I got to think that ABC's having buyer's remorse putting that bad boy in prime time. There's not a lot that really gets the juices flowing other than Seahawk this weekend. Did you find a game, Bama, you like more than others?
I'm still in a little bit on Oregon, Ohio State. I just, everybody's allowed a hiccup week one. I mean, again, and I think Fresno's better, and I want to see Ohio State improve. I mean, if they're really, we talked about it. I think my comment Friday was they did not look elite to me, and they didn't. And so now is a chance, week two, everybody talks about the whole improvement. They're stepping up, I think, in weight class in terms of opponent. Maybe that's yet to be seen with Oregon. I give Oregon a pass week one. I think Fresno is better than we think. So that one, I want to see if Oregon looks better and if Ohio State improves. So that one to me, but yeah, you're right. To me, the game of the week is the Seahawk game. I mean, and good for them getting game day to Ames. I mean, that's an accomplishment. I mean, it really is. But you're right. Other than that, I'm just kind of looking down here and all these ranked teams, I just don't see a lot. And,
you know, the Pac-12 was so bad that it's hard to get anything. You know, maybe Utah, BYU, the Holy War, maybe that one turns out to be
decent. That's
Trent's. You know, mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, late on, you know, Saturday on ESPN. But, yeah, this, you know, Saturday night, if you got to take your wife out to dinner during college football season, Saturday night might be the night to do it, because there's just not a lot when I'm looking at this schedule to really say, oh, I gotta watch that one. But and you're right on Washington, Michigan. Boy, ABC's just got to be going, what did we do? But then again, you look at it, and I mean, they could have put, you know, Iowa State, I guess, in primetime. But man, this one, it is kind of a woof week if you want to look at it that way.
No doubt about it. We'll talk about it, Bama. We'll find a handful of games to preview on Friday when you join us. Have a great, well, short week, Bama. We will talk to you on Friday at 11:05. Thanks, Bama Bob.
Look forward to it, guys. Take care.
Yep, good to talk to you. All right, we'll take our final break. We'll come back, wrap things up here. Speaking of wrapping things up, the LifeServe Blood Center, their blood donation drive is wrapping up here, but doesn't mean you can't stop by the downtown offices of 431 East Locust Street in Des Moines. They're accepting walk-ons. Our friend Daniel West from LifeServe is going to join us for a few minutes to recap the morning here. When we come back, Miller and Condon until noon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO and 107.
Podcasts all in one.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM.
All right, welcome back. Final couple of minutes here. We're live at Principal Park, LifeServe Blood Center. It's their What Color Do You Bleed donation drive. Daniel West momentarily. Just real quick, we got to bring up Jerry Pezzetti.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what Centennial did, knocking off the Hawks, now tied for the most wins in the state of Iowa football history, with a chance to break it this week against Waukee. You were there.
I was, and did not see that one coming. They played incredibly well. Talk about making your biggest leap between week one and week two. That was Coach Pezzetti and company. They did that. Centennial, outstanding, really good running back, quarterback, who ran the football in for a couple of touchdowns. Fun night. And Centennial, yeah, those guys know how to coach a little football out there, don't they?
Yeah, good for them. More about that is in the days ahead as we take you through until Friday. But right now, Daniel West, who we have spoken with a lot, and we're glad to do it, but until today was unable to put a face to that voice. Good to see you. How are you?
Good to see you, too, in person. I'm great. Right. Thank you for coming.
Absolutely. Daniel West, LifeServe Blood Center. So we're full up down here, but we were talking during the break, and we've been talking a lot about this. There's still, if you're inclined, you got some time, you want to donate the gift of life, East Village location has some opportunities today.
They do. They're open till 3 today. We still have appointments available, so people could book online, give us a call, or stop on in and see if we can squeeze them in. Or we're open 6 days a week. So if they can't come today, we're absolutely open, and we would love to see them.
I saw a couple of correspondents when we sent out a tweet when we had you on last week about some people not in Central Iowa. Guys have any leftover T-shirts. A lot of people want to get their hands on these Cy-Hawk T-shirts that you guys have.
They do. So if people reach out and this is what they want and they're not in this area, we'll absolutely work with them to get them to come in and donate. People love their T-shirts and anything Cy-Hawk.
Indeed. We're going to talk a lot about that as leading up until Friday. So what else have you got coming up? This was, I think, a success, right? You would have to say that. Have you got any more big events between now and the end of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're kind of picking up our busier season going into the fall and holiday time frame. You know, normally we have big high school, college blood drives or businesses, which are still not really back to normal. So we'll be having a lot of fun blood drives to try to get people in. We have some Halloween stuff planned in October. Good. A ton of blood drives around the holidays, just reminding people that we still need donations, even though it's the holiday season.
Danielle, what color do you bleed? We need a prediction for first prediction of the week on Miller and Condon. Here it is from Danielle West.
I bleed Cyclone all the way. All right. I'm an ISU grad, so through and through. Hopefully they can pull it out.
Well, we shall see. We just hope it's a good game. We appreciate you having down here, the relationship we have with you. Whenever you need airtime, just reach out to myself or Trent. We'll do it. We firmly believe in donating blood. It is so critical, regardless of the month, right?
Right. I
mean, it's just busier at other times of the year, but regardless of the blood. Daniel, thanks for having us down here today. Glad it was a success. It filled up. And we already look forward to next year, and it was a lot nicer being in force as opposed
Agreed.
To last year, right? Or 2 years ago.
Yes, thank you.
No, good to see you. Thank you, Daniel West from LifeServe Blood Center. Trent Condon, our final couple of minutes here.
Yeah.
They're going to sing the anthem somewhere here
they,
today.
They are.
You're probably going to be fired. Now, you had an unbelievable week. Just recap what you did college football-wise.
This is not hyperbole. This is nothing like that. I bet 17 different things this weekend. I showed Ken when I walked in because I was floating on air. Didn't even need the elevator to get upstairs here at Principal Park. I went 17-0.
That's incredible.
I hit a three-team parlay. I hit all 16 individual bets, though, in college football. I did this weekend, and I told you, Sunday night I got gun-shy.
Last
night,
too hot.
I got gun-shy. Yeah, I'm not reaching, so I'm not betting baseball tonight. I'm just not.
Taking a night off.
I'm taking a night off from betting, which is very difficult for me to do.
Basking in the glow of 17. Well, you saw the tweet of the guy that bet $10 at WinBet. Mm-hmm. They're not in the state. His parlay was 14-0. He cashed like $80,000.
I would have done that if I would have hit a 17-teamer this weekend.
I looked at your screen, folks. He's not making this up. It's a true story. He showed me.
I can screenshot it.
Murph and Andy in an hour and 5 minutes. The Fanatics at 3. Cyclone Inside with PD and Hines tonight at 6.
Hawkeyes number 12. Iowa State number 10 in the coaches poll. AP comes out at 1.
We'll be back tomorrow on 1460 KXNO.